Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2010. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," I said, "send me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one abnormally born, he appeared to me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and so you believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, "From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we, of course, are here to discuss what we have just read and maybe throw in a few comments of our own as well on just life in general. Anyway, Dawn, it's good to have you back this week, Dawn. Last week I was solo.
Yes.
I was all alone. It was very lonely here in my office.
Yes.
Although it's still lonely in my office, so...
That's true. It's lonely in my office, too. But our parishes in our region had an inter-parish retreat with Timothy Radcliffe, and our staffs met last week. That's why I couldn't record, and I had a fabulous experience.
Excellent.
He's so great.
Yes. Now, he was the one who was the head of the Dominican Order, right? I'm correct in that?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and he's done several of the retreats here for both priests, for the entire... people who minister. Didn't he do the ministerium once?
Ministerium,
I think?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he's been around Rochester and he knows us pretty well, so that's good.
And he has an English accent, which you can never go wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. you know, it's one of those things where you always sound smarter with it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You could say the dumbest things, but if you do it with the British accent, you know, then everybody's going to believe you.
Right.
So, anyway, these readings that we have today, I can't do them with a British accent, unfortunately. I'm not good at that kind of thing. So I'll just do it with my own normal American accent. But these readings today are quite powerful. They speak about vocation, which is something that's, I think, immediately when people hear vocation, they think of priests and stuff. But of course, we'll talk about how we are all called to vocation. But one of the first things that I think happens with any vocation or any call, talk what the word itself means. It'd be like the way we live out our lives, I think. I don't know if you have anything else to add on what a vocation is, the call to live out our lives in a particular way. Does that sound fair? Or?
Not really. That sounds fair. I always think of during our school masses here, sometimes during the intentions, we always pray for vocations to the priesthood. But sometimes kids read a fast and they pray for vacations to the priesthood.
Yes, and so, I would like a vacation. No, wait, hold on.
So that's just my funny. I couldn't stop thinking about that.
Right. And the way I always
describe it. But you're right.
Yeah, the way I describe it to kids a lot of times is I will say, the difference between a vocation and a job is a job kind of answers the question, what do you do? You know, I go to work, I do this, I do that. But a vocation answers the question, who are you? You know, who are you at the deepest part of your core? So I always use my own situation. I said, you know, my job is to be here at the parish as the parochial vicar. That's my job. But being a priest is more than just sitting in this office, recording podcasts, meeting with people. There's something deeper to it, and that's who I am in my identity. Same thing, you know, even, you know, everybody's got this vocation. Like, so Dawn, you would have, you know, your job is to be at the parish, but your vocation is how do you live out that Christian call? Now, some of it might, the job might play into that, but the vocation goes beyond that job thing. Right. And of course, it all starts, I think, with an encounter with God and a recognition that we're in God's presence. And that's a scary thing, as we see both in the first reading today from Isaiah, he realizes he's in God's presence, and his response is, woe is me, I am doomed, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And then same thing, we see it in the gospel here, when Simon Peter realizes that he's in the presence of the Lord. He says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. That kind of realization that in God's presence, when we stand next to God, you know, all of a sudden, all of our imperfections are made very clear to us, because God is so pure, so perfect, and such perfection that compared to that, we're nothing. And not only are we nothing, but we're not even worthy to be in his presence. And yet, despite this, and it's very true, we're not worthy to be in his presence, yet despite that, God wants to be in our presence. He wants us to be in his presence. And that, I think, is just the mind-blowing thing about the whole Christian life. It's, I think, something that separates, really, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the Abrahamic faiths, from all other religions, from the pagan religions and things, is often the gods want nothing to do with the with human beings, you know, Zeus and, you know, all those gods. They want nothing to do. They use them as pawns for their own things, but they don't want to really be in the presence of them. Yet our God does. He wants to be in our presence. And it can be a terrifying experience, but at the same time, it's an awe-striking experience, too.
You know, I was thinking about a few NCYCs ago, so it's probably 4 or 6 years ago.
An NCYC is what, Don?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said NCYC is what, for our listening audience?
Doesn't everyone know what I'm thinking? The National Catholic Youth Conference. So we went to one in, I think, Atlanta a while ago, and one of the sessions was, it's called XLT, which is a version of adoration, and with lots of music and things. And so I decided to go to see how they do this. So is it something we want to do at our parish, blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, we start off with singing these great praise and worship songs, and, you know, they're very moving. And then from the back of this huge ballroom, they process in with the Eucharist. And I don't know what it was about the time or where I was in my walk, but as they walked by me, I had to hide my head. And just like Peter in today's gospel, in my heart I said, you know, don't look at me, God. I'm a sinful person. I can't take being in your presence. And I guess it's similar to Isaiah being, it was so powerful. And it's not that I have that same experience every time I go to adoration, but often I have some version of that.
And as an experience, it's something, it's different to, just so we're clear, and I think you'd agree with me, it's not this sense of self-degradation.
No, like, right.
Oh, I'm not worthy. But it's that sense of being in this awesome presence.
Right, and how pure God's presence is, and that anything less is, you know, less.
Right. Exactly. And that's really, you know, as Christians, that's the first experience that we have. So we have this experience of God, and then there's this call that comes from it. You know, how do we respond to this being in the presence of God? You know, what does that entail? And of course, for each one of us, it's something completely different. So it's not something where Dawn and I can sit here on the podcast and just give you the answer today. It'd be nice sometimes, because sometimes figuring out that call can be very strenuous process, and saying, what are you asking me to do, God? What is this all about? And sometimes it can be, you know, it can mean that you're going on difficult roads that you don't want to go on, you know, these windy paths and things. And sometimes it can be doing things that you're doing and you don't even know why you're doing
right.
it. Kind of like Simon Peter in the gospel today. You know, he says, look, we've done this. We haven't caught anything. But you know what? If you're going to tell me to do it, I'll do it. But I think when he does this, he's doing it more to prove his point that, see, we're not going to catch anything. And that's what leads him to realize he's in the presence of God, of course, is he throws in that net and catches something after saying to himself, you know, he was really doing this maybe with the intention of showing him, look, we've done this. We know what we're doing here, and we're not going to catch anything tonight. But Don, you also had an interesting take on that, too, on the putting out into the deep water. And I think that's worth sharing with our listening audience, including the priest.
Well, somewhere in the past 2 weeks, it might have been Timothy Radcliffe last week, or from a book I'm reading, everything gets confused. Whoever was talking about the same reading, and he talked about Jesus saying to put out into the deep. And I got to thinking and putting myself in the story about how these guys were tired. They'd been out there all night, and yet Jesus comes and says, put out into the deep, and like you were saying, almost reluctantly they do it, and then they end up with this big catch. And how often that is what God calls us to do. You know, we've been working at something as hard as we can work, and it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere or it's doing the right thing, but yet God calls us to put out into the deep, and so we do it, and it might not be instantaneously, but it's what we're called to do, is even in the tough times to pull out into the deep and trust that God will take care of whatever's going on.
And there's so much imagery with that putting out into the deep.
Right.
You know, it's, first of all, it's that whole idea. I mean, you can compare it to the idea of a self-emptying. You're going into depths that are beyond, you know, go deeper into
right.
this. You know, you can talk about it in terms of, you know, the deepest waters are also the most dangerous waters. Very, you know, you're true, the furthest, yeah, from the shore. You're the furthest from help from anybody else. That really the only person you can trust in the deep is God. Because, mm-hmm, if something goes wrong, you know, that's all you've got. Your help is furthest from you at that point. When you're staying in the shallow waters near the shore, you know, you're safe. You're in that safe kind of comfort zone. But you might not be able to make that catch if you're in those shallow waters. Right. You know, you probably won't drown, but you're not going to also be able to make that catch that God might be calling you to do. And so I think that's just was a great image that you gave when we were talking before the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, put out into the deep is really a great message for us and how we live out our vocation. It's not something to be lived out timidly, but it's to be lived out by putting out into the deep.
And, you know, just before we end, I remembered as we started talking, a few months ago I went to a workshop with Mike Carrata, who is a professor, and he's very good. Anyhow, it was on living out your vocational calling, and it's whatever your vocation may be. And he divides your vocational calling into three parts. The call of faith, which answers the question, how am I to live? The call of relationships, which is, with whom should I live? And the call of work, what do I want to do with my life? And all three of those end up being your vocational calling. And it was an excellent workshop. Sorry you all weren't there. But when you think about it in that three aspects, faith, relationships, and work, and how do they overlap and things like that, it's quite helpful.
Right, right. And that's what we were talking about, it being that holistic approach, right, there at the beginning of the podcast. Hopefully people have gotten something out of this. Hopefully they went off into the deep and found some deep thoughts from us. And hopefully they'll be back next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.